started. I got, this will be the last night for us doing this portion of talking about the Holy Spirit. From time to time, we'll get back on some of the other subject matters dealing with Holy Spirit, but I think we'll bring this portion of it kind of to a close tonight. We've been on it for quite some time, and I think I've given everybody enough information to do a pretty exhaustive study on your own with this information. What is it talking about when dealing with the Holy Spirit and the value of the Holy Spirit? I can tell you, as a Christian, if we're not led by the Spirit of God, then I don't know how we can maintain that status for very long. We have to be led. And it gets to the point where it gets, and I'll talk about this probably Sunday morning. I'm going to kind of bring these things together when I finish the Purim feast. I'm going to finish it on Sunday. So you have two more sessions of Purim so I can get this information to you. But it literally, it has to come. And that's what we would stop. You know, I actually did 1, 2, 3 and was going to get on 4 on last Thursday. I'm going to back up and do number 1 again there just as a review for you to see that. But we're dealing with the Holy Spirit and what it is capable of providing in our life is absolutely critical. I mean, when it come to decision making and knowing it in your spirit, it's an instant thing. Some people say, well, I got to pray about it. If you go and pray about something that is what I would consider a normal, everyday decision that you can make by just being led by the Spirit. Like somebody said, well, you know, I'm really going to pray about going Thursday night. That's crazy. And the Spirit of the Lord has been yelling at you all day, get finished, let's go. You see, it's just listening to the Spirit and doing the right thing, because every other time we don't. In any instance, it's always the thing that delays us, puts us off, just not feeling where we're flowing. So if you had days in your life where you just felt things were flowing, it just was. And it doesn't mean that, you know, people think, well, there's spiritual things and then there's non-spiritual things. Not for the believer. It's all spiritual for the believer. I don't care where you're at. You could be at work cutting grass, digging a ditch. It's all spiritual. Somebody said, well, ain't nothing spiritual about digging a ditch. Well, if the Lord wanted you to be that digging that ditch, it is, because you're being obedient to God. And that's the thing about being a Christian. There's no time that you're not one. So when you're working, you're a believer, and you're being led by the Spirit. You're going to make the right contacts, the right agreements with people, go into the right business for the right reason. You're going to do it because the Spirit's leading you to do that. You have the right relationships. All that's by the Spirit. So some people have Christian relationship, and they think of it that way. It should never be that way. If you're in a relationship with other people that are non-Christians, it ought to be the ones that God wants you to be in relationship that are non-Christians when it comes to being a witness to them. He led you down that direction. And that's important. It's just everything is just, it's quick, it's fast-paced as far as the fact that you're not sitting there waiting, well, I just don't know what to do, and you froze. That's not how the Spirit works. The Spirit works immediate. That's why we have it. So, and it understands God. Somebody said, well, I got to go pray and know what God, the Spirit knows God. You don't have to go, but He knows God. Remember the scripture I read to you. The things of a man knows. Right? Because man knows man. Things of God, Spirit knows, because the Spirit is from God. Knows. You don't have to go pray and say, well, I don't know. You ain't ever going to turn to this communication with the Spirit and go, what do you think? It's never going to do that. The Spirit knows the things of God, because Spirit is from it's the Spirit of God. That's how important it is for you to understand that as you're having this you're in this relationship and you're empowered. You have power to live for God. Outside of the Spirit, you have no power to live for God, and you won't. You might start out, but you won't last. So people, you say, well, I don't know why they don't last. They have the Spirit guiding them. Because if you have the Spirit guiding you, you're going to last. Because there's a power to know the things of God, to understand the things of God. What does God like? Spirit knows. What does God, what He doesn't like? Spirit knows. He knows all those things. So, number one, I'll go through them. We had done three of them at the end of it, and I was rushing through them. I'll cover them again, and we'll go through. I got 10 of them to cover tonight, and then we'll come to that spot where we're going to kind of shift and do something a little different with dealing with the Holy Spirit. Number one, the Holy Spirit is our teacher guiding us into truth. The Holy Spirit is our teacher guiding us into truth. Now, again, the Spirit of God is personified in the Scripture. Okay, we can talk about personal pronouns and all that stuff and say, well, you know, is it really a spirit? Is it really a person? And all that. I think we settled on that. I think we understand that we have that God is one person. He's one. And Jesus is another person. But we don't attach or associate that with the Holy Spirit. We don't find it in Scripture. The Holy Spirit doesn't have a name. Somebody said, well, the name is Holy Spirit. No, there's no name attached. Jesus has a name. God has a name. Holy Spirit never was given a name. It's never prayed to. None of that. You don't go to say, Holy Spirit, I'm asking you. Never in Scripture. But we are commanded to pray to God, the Father, and we can actually talk to Jesus. He says it. Right? But why would he say pray to the Spirit? If that's the one that's in operation now, it'd be so much shorter to heaven, right? Listen, if you had a phone that was out by the road, okay, and it rained, but you had another phone that was just outside and it rained, they're all the same line, and then you had your cell phone in your hand and it rained. Which one would you do? They're all the same call, all the same ring. What would you do? Throw the cell phone down, take off, and go and answer the one by the road? No, you wouldn't do that. That would make no sense. You got the closest one to you, you're going to use it. But the Holy Spirit is never prayed to. So, what if you... let me explain it this way. But what if there's an alarm that you have with you? You can't talk into it, but it's letting you know the phone's ringing. That's what the Holy Spirit does. You don't talk into it. Does that make sense? It's just letting you know it's ringing. Who is it? God. You understand? And he knows exactly who it is. He knows when to do it, how to do it. That's the Holy Spirit. You can't survive without the Holy Spirit. It knows exactly what God wants right there on the spot because it's from God. And I think we established that in our study. So keep that in mind as we go through this. So the Holy Spirit is our teacher and guide. And I gave you this, John 14, 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. He's sending. So the Father sending the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. That's what he'll do. And that's important. So don't get caught up in the personal pronouns. You're not going to find me trying to work my way, you know, real gently around the personal pronouns. If the Scripture is using a personal pronoun because it personifies the Holy Spirit, I'm going to use he too. Right? Him, I'm going to say that. But when I say that, you have to understand what I'm talking about and from a personification standpoint rather than me trying to declare him as a person. You see? That's important. Because everybody else just said, well, it's a person. He's personified. Well, other things are personified, but it don't make them people. Wisdom's not a woman. But it says she wisdom. You see? Because it can be. Scripture is written like that, and it's for us to understand that away. John 16, 13, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own initiative. And I covered that. That word is so important, his own initiative. He will not speak on his own initiative. But whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what it is to come. And that's important. Why does the Spirit not speak on his own initiative? Because it's not sent to have an initiative. So sent to do one, the purpose that it was sent for is to empower us to God. Just that empower. So it's the operational presence of God the only way we can communicate with God, because we're not there yet. Somebody said, well, I'm saved. We're not going to argue a person being saved, but you're not there. You know, I've seen some of the most spiritual people have a real spiritual fit one week and then have whatever they want to call it the next week. You understand? So you don't think God knows that's how we are? How many of you have had good times and you just felt so on fire for God? I mean, you could, if the next thing you done was going to step into heaven. That's how you were there. You were close. But the next week, you was warming your hands like this. You see? And that's how it's, because, and we're getting through it. We're learning. We're figuring out, you know what? So that's why we have to have Holy Spirit. Because that's our communication to a God who, if we acted that way on the second week in his real presence, you're done. You see what I'm saying? It's a cutoff. You have no hope for you. And that's why he's such a loving God, how he would do what he did to give us this power from on high. It's absolutely incredible. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 10 through 11. It says, for to us God reveals them through the Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of man? Right? Who among men knows the thoughts of a man except for the spirit of man? Men know men. Right? Somebody said, well, you know, that we're different. Listen, from at the core foundational level, we're the same. Everybody, I don't care where you live, who you grew up with, what's your background, race, status, none of that matters. We're men and women. That's what it is. We're a human race and we know each other. So somebody says, well, they did that or they did this. We know without a doubt within our DNA, we are susceptible to do the same thing if it wouldn't be for the grace of God. We know that. If we're honest, we can say, you know what? I can't believe they did that. But if I really thought about it, I'm capable of doing that. And I know that. So it's what he's saying. He says, listen, for who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of man, which is in him? It's who you are, right? The spirit of man, which is in him, is who you are. And we know that. Then he says, even so, the thoughts of God knows no one knows except the Spirit of God. That's what we have. So if you want to know what God wants, ask the Spirit. And you're asking the Spirit how? By going to the Word of God and yielding to the Scripture, and it's teaching you all things. That's how you're doing it. You're going to the Word of God, yielding to the Scripture, and it's revealing himself. Teaches us all things. That's what he does. And that's important. Number two, the Holy Spirit intercedes on our behalf. I gave you, I think, one verse there, Romans 8, 26 and 27. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. He who searches the heart knows what is the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Not his own will, to the will of God. And why? Because the Spirit is not sent on his own initiative. He's not here to do his own. He intercedes according to the will of God, period. And that's something that you and I have to remember as we take in on this guidance and this. The atmosphere of yielding to the Holy Spirit is absolutely incredible. Number three, the Holy Spirit gives us joy and peace. I gave you Galatians 5, 22 and 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And so it's so true that the Holy Spirit gives us peace, gives us joy, gives us all those wonderful things, and that's something we ought to be grateful for, and we see that. So why is that done? Why is it done when it says in Galatians that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace? Why is that for us? Because anybody can say anything. And God knows that. But he would never have it said. So if somebody says, well, I'm a Christian, well, how do we know? What's going to tell us that? Fruit, right? I have the Holy Spirit. How do we know? And we know what those fruit are, right? What's the fruit of the Spirit? So if you're having trouble loving, we got to question your Holy Spirit relationship, right? If you're having trouble with joy, let me tell you, a lot of people have trouble with joy. You know, because the only way happiness comes on them if things are going their way. But that's not what joy is. Joy is a deep, deep seated, embedded feeling on the inside that don't take an outside light to shine on it so you can see it. Meaning they can have stuff go bad, but deep down on the inside, they got a joy unspeakable and full of glory that they know that God is with them. It's joy. And then that joy, can it be expressed? Absolutely. It can come out. You could be joyful. And then we see peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. All of these, is all, every one of them we could have broke down and did a Thursday night on each one of them. But, you know, I'm giving you this to show you that the Holy Spirit is there's fruit. There's fruit that you can tell if you have it or you're operating in it. It's based on these. Are you kind? Are you kind to people? Or do you have self-control? Think about that. How many know that if I'm lacking in self-control, maybe that's one of the things that I need to understand that about the Holy Spirit. Is he trying to? Here's the thing. Some people say, well, I'm just not that way. But again, you got too much of you and not enough of Holy Spirit. You got to deny yourself and let Holy Spirit, because you there with them. You're there with them. You got to let the Holy Spirit and say, I better not say that. Because you don't come up, listen, we're not smart enough to come up with that on our own. I can tell you that. We listening to the Holy Spirit. If we do it, we listen to the Holy Spirit. If we say, I'm not going to say nothing, you listening to the Holy Spirit. That's a fruit. You bore good fruit. And because we're not coming up with that on our own, I can tell you that. Number four. So you see that I could take that verse and we could have went through all that. We could just do one at a time, but you take the time to do it. The Spirit gives us gifts for ministry. This is a critical one. The Spirit gives us gifts for ministry. And this is one right here. Ephesians 2:8 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the what of God? It's the gift of God. Right? We didn't get here on our own. For by grace are ye saved through faith. It's not of works. Not of yourself. You know, you didn't do it yourself. It's a gift from God. We got to accept that gift from God. Thank you, Father. Every day we ought to be thanking him for that. But look at this verse. In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4 through 7, it says, now there are a variety of gifts. There are a variety of gifts. So now we got the gift, right, of salvation, and we got the Holy Spirit. Because that's part of it. You may say, well, I didn't get the Holy Spirit. Well, I'm going to, listen, I don't know how to say this enough. For by grace are ye saved through faith, not of yourself. It's a gift from God. That gift from God was everything you'll ever need to be successful in that relationship. Not something that hadn't happened yet. The day of Pentecost in the book of Acts already happened. Already happened. Now, receiving is the thing that has to happen with us. Now, you can adhere to word, but receiving Holy Spirit is the seal of redemption. Understand that. It's a seal of being saved. You adhere to the word, but it hadn't become real to you. You got to have that Holy Spirit sealing of that, and that's what takes place when you came and you accepted it. You heard the word. That was from, say we was in a service and it happened. You heard the word, so you got the word and you agreed to the word. But then you whatever you do, if you step forward, you knelt down, you pray, you say, God, I thank you for it. I receive it. Now you confess it with your mouth. Something happened. right there. Now you have the Spirit to guide you. From that moment on, you have the Spirit to guide. There's a lot of emphasis was put on whether or not a person's there's going to be a manifestation of Holy Spirit by speaking in tongues. We didn't even get there yet. You understand? We're not there. Now this verse will get us there. Now watch what he says. There are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. I don't know how you get around that. So if there are a variety of gifts and it's the same Spirit, no matter which one I'm talking about, at the end I got to say what? The same Spirit. Is it a different Spirit? It's the same Spirit. But what I have is it's the same Spirit. But mine, yeah, I've heard people, but mine when it comes, it's the same Spirit. You see, but people have, they identify that and they attach something more personal to it. It's the Holy Spirit. And now watch what he says. There are a variety of ministries in the same Lord. There are a variety of effects. The same God who works all things in all persons. I mean, he works it in? All things and all persons. Same God. But, this is the condition. But, now here we go. To each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So somebody says, well, I don't have that anointing. I don't have. And so what happened was we had this whole era, as it were, in the church, where there were the anointed elite and the less anointed down to the no anointing. What in the? That's absolutely crazy. He gave it all for the common. It's not everybody's up here more anointed and you less anointed. You never see that. Jesus never taught that. He never lived that away. He never put people and positioned them by making those type of statements. In our society, people thrive on that. The high seat or the anointed area. This is the anointed. This is the elite or whatever it is. And everybody seeks that type of recognition out. But he says here, but to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. What about us just being saved and being led by the Spirit so we can be light and salt to those who are not, so they can make their decision and do the same thing. And when they come, they're going to have the same Spirit, not a different Spirit, same Spirit. So what happened the day of Pentecost? Same Spirit. It's not a different Spirit that comes on. Cornelius was here's a guy who's a Gentile, all right? He don't practice the laws of the Jews. And then Peter, you know, he's a Jew. But the Lord takes him up and shows him the sheet and shows him the unclean animals, right? Well, people read that and they say, well, now that we're underneath the new covenant, Jews can eat what they want. So they had a big separation in the church. Well, he wasn't talking about food, even though he said kill and eat, right? But he wasn't talking about food. He wasn't saying, okay, the buffet serves. Get up and serve you three plates and go home. It had nothing to do with that. He used that so we can get the meaning of what he's trying to say. He was telling them, listen, same Spirit that you received when you was in Pentecost is the one I'm going to give to Cornelius over there. He's a Gentile. But this thing going to break out. There'll be no Jew, no Greek, no bond or free, but one new man, right? So we understand one new man. Well, Sunday I'll be talking about that more extensively about how what's happened is we got Jews and Christians. And so that's not going to work with God. Let me understand that. It's not going to work with God, Jews and Christians. And so what happened, the wall got built one brick at a time, as high as it's ever been in our world today, and a strong wall of 36,000 bricks of denominations that separates everybody on whatever ism or schism you can think of. Right? It's the truth. But I believe if we'll start doing what God wants us to do as Christians and quit following these other man-made ideas, the wall is going to come down. I believe there's a crack in the wall and it's going to come down. But we have to constantly persist on saying that's not going to happen. And that's what Jesus taught. That was the way he believed and taught. And it's the way we should also believe and understand. So keep that in mind, that all this was for the common good. Number five, the Spirit gives us boldness to witness. The Spirit gives us boldness to witness. 1 Timothy 3:13. Let me just give you an example. I can give you an example of this, and I'll read that in just a little bit. I can talk about my life. My life, for example. If it wouldn't have been for the Spirit of God, I wouldn't do what I'm doing. I couldn't do what I'm doing. You understand? Because from a person's standpoint, I was not cut out from any perspective in my own power to do this. I just wasn't. And my mom, she gets out. I mean, I didn't want to. She'd ask us to sing. We'd get us up there to sing, and I'd cry like a big baby. Because I don't know what it was. I was like, I was stage fright or something. And I want imagine my sisters were there. He goes again. My God, what is he doing? You know? And I would try. I'd get up to him, and I'd be just looking at everybody, and all of a sudden I hold it as long as I could, and I couldn't, I didn't want to be in front of anybody. And so, growing up, I would have been, oh yeah, sure, he's going to be the guy. But when the Spirit comes in your life, right, and you just follow the Spirit, let him do it. Then you don't have to worry about being stage fright, because you're just following the Spirit, right? And then I remember when I first started being obedient to God and for doing that, I was so afraid that I didn't have enough notes or enough anything. You know, I was like, I got to have a lot of stuff with me because I want to look every now and then because I'm just not going to remember. I just won't remember. And then I started reading. I said, oh, wow, the Spirit said he reminds me. Okay. Oh, but what if he don't? Then I'm looking at everybody going, okay, see? But how many know it may start out like that, and then you trust God, and then before you know it, you go, wow, he just reminded me of that. Thank you, Lord. And he reminds, oh, wow, I hadn't thought of that in years. And he just, boom, boom. You think you're coming up with that on you? We're not that smart. We're not. Holy Spirit. He does that. And the moment you start living that away, now watch this. You can't walk out that door and forget that, right? You know how many times me and Brother Troy was just talking about that? I remember when we first got married and all, and you don't have stuff. So all you getting married and you getting started, you know, and you think, well, we were there. You don't have no stuff. You got nothing. You're broke. We were there. I was right there. So we get on the boat. My dad had got him a skiff, and we had the P&P still. So me and Troy and Keith, I never forget this. We get on that boat, and I said, we're going to pray. We got to pray. Because we broke. And my dad said, y'all take that boat. Y'all got to put that fuel back in there. Don't bring that boat empty. Well, you know, you got a big boat. It's a big boat, big operation. Got the little, had the little plow, was towing the little plow. Boy, and we got to the river, and we got there. I said, Father, we broke. And we didn't say it that way, but boy, we wanted to. We just said, like, God, if you don't tell us, we don't know which way to go. We don't know if we need to go across or down. We don't know. So Brother Troy would say, we got to go down a river. I said, all right. We're going. You know, you trust in the Lord. If he's trusting God, we're going. So, boy, we turned down the river. Here we go. We're going down the river. I said, where down the river? By the five wells. All right. So we turn in Raphael, going down Raphael with the P&P. Here comes a fisherman, experienced fisherman. Don't go. There ain't nothing so dry over there. Man, it's nothing. We done been, we put nets all over. We ain't got not one shark. Not one. I look at Brother Troy. Who you hearing? We're going, huh? We're going. Yep. We agree. Two agree. We agree. We're going. Force Keith, he's over there going. He don't know. He's lost. He had no idea. So we get into the wide part of Raphael. Another fisherman. We slow down. Here they come on sides. Where y'all going? Don't go there. The very thing we said, don't go over there. I went, you got to be kidding me, right? But we knew there was something about it. We got a good feeling. We gone. We got there, put the nets out. Well, we get in the boat, and we ride. And then we ride. And you ever rode as a fisherman and you got no money? Right? And you make swirls up and you make them up in your mind and you just hope they're up. And you're saying, come on. Nope, nothing. That was a wave. And we ride. And all of a sudden, I look and there was one swirl. I said, I've just seen a swirl right there. Brother Troy said, throw it. Put it out. Put the whole thing. He said, the whole thing. You seen a swirl? Man, we stretched that thing and that thing come alive on one swirl. We had over 100 sharks in a very short period of time on a swirl. But see, we can never got to that swirl unless somebody said, hey, we're going down the river. We're going right there. I know it. You think maybe next time you more keen to obey that wooing? Absolutely. And the next time, and the next time, and the next time, and the next time, before you know it, you got this ongoing. It's just like everything else I'm doing in life. It just comes as natural as can be. That's what the Holy Spirit is there for. There's no reason why any believer should be trying to go do this. Well, I don't know what to do. I need to pray about it. We got way too much praying about it and not enough following the Holy Spirit. Because if you praying about it, you might as well tell me, I don't think so. Because if you giving yourself that space of time, that's how much time you're giving for the enemy to rob it from you because the Holy Spirit is saying, do it. Yeah. Do it. Mm-hmm. Do it. Or he may be saying, no. That's it. Don't. That's it. Stop. That's it. He don't go, don't ask me. Go pray. Yeah. He never does that. Yeah. You know why? He knows what God wants. And he knows it right now. Do you understand that? He knows what God wants. He knows. So people say, well, why did Jesus go pray? He prayed so he could spend time with the Father. Mm-hmm. We pray to ask God for stuff. That's it. Do you understand that? He just spent time with God. I just want to spend time with you. Mm-hmm. Just want to soak in your presence and your glory. We go to prayer, Lord. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. And so you got to ask. You don't mind you asking, but you got to be willing to take the answer right there. And we've seen it happen over and over and over again. And it's just, that's what he's talking about. And in Timothy 3:13, he says, for those who have served well as deacons, obtain for themselves a high standing and great confidence in the faith of Jesus Christ. Again, the Spirit gives boldness to witness. And he's telling them that. They themselves have a high standing and great confidence. See that word? Great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. And so you got to have, it's hard for you to teach anybody something that you don't have a lot of confidence in. But if you got confidence in what you're doing, it's worked for you, and you can teach that to other people, that's what the Holy Spirit does. And over my life, I've seen the Holy Spirit just, I trust him. Absolutely trust him. You know, I can have a whole message, completely, slideshows and all. And he said, we're not going there. I appreciate you. You know, we've been there all week looking at it, but we're not going there. Get your Bible and just go up. That's it. All right. Fine with me. Yeah. Not my show. That's it. I'm just going to do what you said. And I'll just get there. And I mean, go to here. I open it up. I hadn't read that in, a couple months, 3 months, 6 months, I hadn't read that chapter. Start read. And the Spirit's right there. Give you every word you're going to say. Completely different than what you've been looking at, but it'll give you every word. He'll speak every word. It's just like this. I got these slides. I got these scripture, but the words have to come from the Spirit. The explanation has to come from the Spirit. I cannot remember all this stuff. I cannot. I can't remember all that. It has to come from the Spirit, and you have to give credit to the Spirit who's given that information to you in real time. How many thank God that we have the power of the Holy Spirit that acts in real time all the time? Acts 4:31, and when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the words of God with boldness. They began to speak the word of God with boldness. Now, how long did it take them to speak the words of God with boldness? Immediately. Immediately. Think about that. So stuff you would have not normally done, like me, I would have not normally wanted to go up in the front. Immediately with the Holy Spirit, there's a different person. There's you're not trusting your intellect. You're trusting God's going to be faithful by His Spirit, and that's what you do. How many's ever been you felt you had to go talk to somebody, a witness to somebody, and you get a little nervous, and then you go ahead and initiate it. And all of a sudden you go, wow, it just started flowing. You know what? That, you got to give credit to the Holy Spirit. You got to constantly do that too, man. So next time, your nervous feeling is not going to be as bad. And then eventually you'll get to the point where you just, whatever He says, that's fine. Whatever He wants us to do. Number six, the Spirit gives us power. Power. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6 says this. Then He said to me, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." So we're talking about might and power, right? So is he downgrading might and power in that verse? No, He's not downplaying it, not downgrading it. He's just saying, not your might, not your power, but by my Spirit, which is a lot of might and a lot of power. It's just different. You're getting it from a different source, right? How many know if you use your might and your power, what's going to happen? You're going to get depleted. You're going to get fatigued. But His might and His power, you can go on. It's important. Let me tell you, there was a study done on pastors that are really, they did a group of pastors that were really committed to teaching the Bible, and they really felt what they taught, and they really were dedicated, and they would come, I mean, they would. And so they hooked them up to monitors to read their brain waves. So they did this whole study. And they found out that when you up there for one hour, and you're into it, and you're driving home these points and reading the scripture, that you have spent the energy of a person who has ran a marathon. So the natural feeling when you're finished. If you see me sitting down out there sometime, I'm done. Now, it just, that's good. Because, and you may not be able to answer every question or communicate with everybody, because you got to go back and that's what happens with that. And it's that intense, and it doesn't even appear that way. But all the studies showed that it was the equivalent of running a marathon. And the same thing would happen to you. You might get called in the middle of the night. It might be a buddy, a friend that you went to school with, and they'll call you. And you pour out. You're serious. You love them, and you care about them, and you don't want to see them go down that road. And then when you get done, you're just exhausted. You go, man, what just happened? You need to recognize that. You poured everything out, and that's okay. And then you get rejuvenated by the Spirit again. Immediately He goes to work, and He builds you back up, and you're ready to go. And so that's what happens. I mean, they're feeling fine because you poured out everything. They're feeling good, and you're feeling exhausted. You've emptied, and you just keep allowing the Spirit of the Lord, and this is powerful. Now, it doesn't mean that you're less in your walk with God. You're a strong believer. You just, the resource and power and strength, you have to be refueled And that's what the Spirit of the Lord is there for. So, not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Ephesians 3:16, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man. That's Paul's prayer. He's praying there for the saints, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened. The Holy Spirit gives us strength, strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man. How many thank God for that? Amen. Ephesians 1, 19 and 20. And what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe? These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his own right hand in heavenly places. And so this is very important because we have this surpassing greatness of his power toward us. So the Holy Spirit empowers, we get power. He said, go to Jerusalem, you shall be endued with power from on high. And so understand that you have resource right there every day. Your resource is right there. So if you're feeling like you're, why am I feeling this way? You have to reach out and allow the Spirit of the Lord to just give you the strength and power that he does. The Spirit gives, number seven, the Spirit gives us the power to live godly lives. Live godly lives. Now, this is an important one. Let me tell you why. If you have lived a life of involvement with things that were not godly, how many can relate to that, right? We come out of, we went down that road. So we've been there. We lived a lifestyle of those things, of ungodly things, committing ungodly acts daily. Then we get saved. You need the Holy Spirit to teach you how to live godly life now, right? It's not automatic. It's not an automatic. You got to learn those things. And it takes Bible reading, Bible study, church attendance, hanging out with people who are doing the same thing. That's what it takes. And that's something that is very important, very important. Ezekiel 36:27 says this, I will put my Spirit within you. What does he say there? I'll put my Spirit within you. Cause you to walk in my statutes. And you will be careful to observe my ordinances. Right? So I'm not normally doing that. But should we? Absolutely we should. Let me tell you the biggest disaster that's ever hit the Christian world is the church was separated by this 36,000 denominational wall. And we was on one side, and the other Jews was on the other side. Do you know that 75% of people profess to be Christians in the United States of America? 75%. You know how many profess to be Christians in Nepal? 1%. It's a big difference, ain't it? Big difference. 1%, 75%. So we have this issue with professing to be something, but not obeying the ordinances and commands of God. But that's where the Spirit comes in, because what he does, he just levels the playing field and says, listen, here's the way it is. This, I know what God wants, because I'm from God, right? You know what man wants, because you're from man, but we're not doing it your way. That's how you have to yield to the Spirit, right? Then he teaches us what to do. Now, some people say, well, I've been doing that all my life. You know I'm holy. That's fine. Again, we can say all those things. I know in my heart. Don't follow your heart. Don't follow your heart. It's deceitful above all else. Right? I'm following God. I follow in my heart. Even as a pastor, I follow my heart to get in trouble. Right? And so we have to reevaluate, regroup, and look at what we participated in before as Christians. Called it Christian, yet God never did. That, we have to put that in question. We quick to question everybody else, but we did that, right? So that's some of the things that we learn if we study in the Word of God and we're living out and doing it the way God wants us to do by His Spirit. All of a sudden, you start realizing He said, "You can't do that." Oh, and then And you go, okay, well, what do I do? And he goes to the Word and says, this is what you should be doing. Then you go a little further. He says, you can't do that. What we've done is we've accepted man's leadership over Holy Spirit's leadership. And with all good intentions. It's not like people were saying on purpose. I don't think there was an intentional on purpose. You do what we, that's what they knew. Because they did it. And they did it. For generations it got handed down. And so you could be, you know, led astray. With all good intentions, but it doesn't satisfy God. God has to be satisfied. Ultimately, he's the one that has to be satisfied. And there's only one power, resource that we have that can bring that satisfaction to our understanding. That's Holy Spirit. Listen, let me tell you this. Jesus was born in a miraculous way without the assistance of a man. That had never been done, ever. So that I would already put him on his own plane. Right? Jesus, and then he's called the Son of God. I think he's a standalone, right? Boom, there he is. But he had to have the Spirit. You understand? He had to have the Holy Spirit so he can be guided through life. And he had to, listen, he done it 100% perfect. There wasn't a day that went by in his life that he didn't listen to the Holy Spirit. To put him in the right direction. His footstep, every time he took a step, every person he talked to, everything he ever done was absolutely perfect without one step out of the way. You know, we're trying to get our years kind of caught up. His every second was on time. You can tell when you got things on time, things you go, wow, wow. You're giving this wow, wow, wow. Don't go. You're not that good, right? Holy Spirit. He gives us those wild moments where we can, and that's what I want to do. And I want to give him all the glory and the praise and the honor because God deserves that. So anything the Holy Spirit does, empowering us, who we should give the glory to? The one who gave the Holy Spirit to us. Right? That's so simple. It's all simple. And so this is important for us to understand. So notice that. I will put my Spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. You will be careful to observe my ordinances. Right? So what happened was, this is Satan's tactic. Well, we're Christians now. We're not Jews. So Christians were something that kind of started to evolve right after early apostles started to die off. John being the last one to die on the Isle of Patmos. They're dying off. Yet, no studies have really been done to emphasize that all through the book of Acts, and leading, they all visited the synagogue, they all observed the feast, but there was this subtle walking away from it, and we're just Christian. And we're going to do something different. And so this is the enemy's tactic. He says, well, listen, if you're a Jew, you don't eat bacon, you eat brisket. You don't eat biscuit, you eat bagel. Right? You observe the feast days and the others observe Christmas and Easter. Right? Am I right or wrong? This is exactly what happened. Still happening today. At the end of the day, what would they've done is they said, well, and look at them. Most of them, and they're correct, most of them don't even believe that Jesus is the Messiah. Does that change God's rules and ordinances and commands? See, what we've done, we've attached everything God said to do to the people and forgot about the God. Then we served God, retrofitted in our own thinking, and he's got to accept it. Does he? That's not what he said. He said, do men worship me in vain? Yet you have worshiped me, teaching for doctrine the traditions of men. I wonder why he said that. For no apparent reason? I'm thinking there was reason behind it. That's why he said, look, you can't do that. And that's what we find. How do we prevent that? Be led by the Spirit and not by man. Let me tell you, it's so easy to be led by man. You know, it's much easier for you to say, well, you know, I'm just going to do what Pastor does. You got to do what the Spirit tells you to do. Yeah. You know, if I go and buy something, you don't go buy it.
That's it.
You understand? If this one guy gets up there and preaches and says, well, let me tell you, I had a whole class of students, young pastors, about to graduate from Bible college. Most of them been there, you know, 3 years, 4 years are coming up. They're going to graduate Bible college, a whole building full of them. He gets up there and he says, well, I tell you, you got to learn to live by faith. He said, I tell you, I woke up one morning, the Lord told me to give my car away. I just gave my car away. He said, and before that night, somebody came and handed me the keys to a brand new van. You got to work your faith. Bad teaching. Because all them students gave their cars away and they were walking to school for a year. Because just because you gave yours and somebody gave you a van, they ain't near one of them got a van. None of them. Because you're not doing that. Maybe that's what the Lord thought. I don't know. But don't tell somebody that because that's not a good teaching. You don't do what I'm doing. You do what the Spirit of the Lord tells you to do. Yeah. Now, what he should have said, yes, good example. Because I'm listening to the Spirit. But you got to listen to the Spirit. Don't do what I did. You listen to the Spirit. If he tell you to keep your vehicle, you keep it. If he tell you to give it, then obviously he's got something planned. I don't know what it is. But, you know, when you walk into school in the winter, you're scratching your head and going, why it ain't working for me? I gave it away. Yeah, because somebody else did something. You didn't listen not one time to the Spirit. You were fine. So it's easier, see? You know why? It's something that I can relate to. Man relates to man. So when man says it, you're quick to do it. But when Holy Spirit says it, but I want to tell you, Holy Spirit relates to God. If you want to know what God wants, listen to Holy Spirit. Man, it's easier to do it because man relates to man. And that's what the Scripture's telling us. And that's it's easier. And then plus you feel like, well, I'm not doing it by myself. When you listen to the Holy Spirit, man, you're home, nobody's around. There ain't no singing, no preacher. There ain't no church service. The congregation's gone. And he says, hey, you go there. Go fish there. You're going to do it. And in your mind, you're throwing all these scenarios up and why you shouldn't. Because all your man stuff's going to come into play, right? Listen, one of the worst things that you got to overcome, men especially, is the man in you. That's why Paul said it this way. He says, not I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. Now, how could Christ be living in him and at the right hand of the Father at the same time? By the Spirit. That's how you could do it. So I want that to happen for me too. I want to be led. I want to know where to go. I want to know what to do immediately. And he'll tell us that. He'll tell us every time. And you got to feel good about it. Then the moment you feel good about it, somebody comes by and gives you a negative report. And you got to decide, am I going to listen to man or am I going to listen to what I know in my heart? And you might battle that. That's fine, whatever it is. And sometimes you may give in to man and you may stay with God. You're going to learn that as you go. And sometimes it takes people one time, sometimes it takes them 100 times. But the more you do it, the more that relationship's going to grow, and the more you're going to feel confident. It's so much confidence in the wooing of the Spirit. You're going to feel comfortable with it, and it's just something about it. Number 8, the Spirit helps us to pray. Helps us to pray. Ephesians 6:18, with all prayer and petitions, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view. Be on the alert with all perseverance and petitions of all for all the saints. So here, why is it important to have the Spirit and praying in the Spirit, allowing that to happen? Because we are limited at our capacity to relate to things that are going on in people's life. How many does the prayer text? How many gets the prayer text? You get a thing, right? How many's ever seen prayer text come? You have no idea who the person is, right? People that's praying, we don't know who they are. So the Spirit, let me see if I can explain this. How many's ever had a prayer text come and it was somebody you knew and you felt something immediately? Can I tell you that wasn't Holy Spirit? That was your relationship to the people. You understand? But when you get a text from somebody you don't know who they are, Holy Spirit knows and how to be sensitive enough to say, and I mean, I was busy, I'm busy, busy, busy. Boy, and if it's somebody, just say, hey, so-and-so's in your church, they mom just passed. You go, oh, man. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was the Holy Spirit. That was your relationship with that family, and you felt that pain with them. Because let me tell you what's Holy Spirit. I don't know who that is, but oh, God. Yeah. I just got to stop right now and pray for them. Yeah. And I've done that. I don't know how many. I get a number. I don't know who that is. Father, help them. Thank you, Father. Holy Spirit prays, and it puts you in that position where you don't have to know them. Because the Holy Spirit knows. How many things the Spirit knows? What does the Scripture say? All things. He knows them. He knows everything about them. So you just do that. That's what you're doing at that time. Don't get mixed up in your feelings, though. And you say, well, man, you know what? I didn't really pray for him like, boy, and I got that other call. I mean, I cried and everything. You cried because you know him. Don't go off don't get caught up in that emotion. Let me tell you, when you go by the Spirit's going, oh, it has the same feeling with everybody. Same urgency, never changes. It's not a different urgency, but you'll miss it by thinking, I didn't feel nothing. Don't go off of that. You can't do that because you're not emotionally attached to that person. But the Holy Spirit knows. And so you just use that and be okay with it. Don't think you did something wrong. That's what people do. Well, you know, man, I should have maybe prayed longer. I don't know. Do what the Spirit's yielding you to do. And what he'll yield you to do is immediately say something.
That's it.
Because you're not going to go, oh, okay. It's not just like, okay, so, oh, yeah, I know what's going on. That's not for you to know what's going on. Yeah. That's for us to do something. Yeah. And you just pray. You'll get it and say, well, okay, Father, I don't know who that, I don't know who Christy, I don't know who this person is, whatever it is. I don't know who's mad, I don't know, whatever name it is. But you'll just say, I just thank you for them, whatever that condition is, whatever's going on. I pray for them right now, the whole family. God, thank you for it. And you're going on. But you could have that doing, everybody doing that? You know how much power is there? It's important. So understand the difference between your attachment and you think you've done something versus you doing it on a normal basis with a person you don't know. Very important. Number 9, the Spirit gives us wisdom and revelation. This one is absolutely critical. I can tell you, I know about this one. I live by this one. I'm expecting revelations and understanding from God, and he's the only one that can give it to us. How many know we need wisdom and we need revelation? The book of Ephesians, chapter number 1, verse 17 and 18, for that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom. What is he going to give us? The spirit of wisdom. Revelation in the knowledge of him. And I pray that the eyes of the heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. So what we see here is the Holy Spirit gives us wisdom and revelation. And that's important. And if you want to know why we have all these different changes in our understanding of Scripture and why we're teaching things that we never taught before, it's wisdom and revelation given by the Spirit. I can ignore it and we can just go back and do what we're doing. But then I know I'm not following the Lord. Right? And if I did that, you would even go, what in the world? Right? Because you know truth. Truth is revealed. Can you undo truth? Can you back up and say, I don't want to know truth? Once it's revealed, it's over. You're free. You're free from the bondage of what? And we were in bondage to it because we didn't know the truth. We didn't know, right? We didn't know. But once that revealed truth comes, you know. What are you going to do with it? If we all try and say, well, you know what? We're just going to go do something. We're just going to go back. Then we'd have to deal with going back with knowing. That's an issue. And let me tell you, it wouldn't be good for anybody because we'd be like, man, I don't know what to feel. I'm all mixed up. But once you flow into wisdom and the revelation of God, there's something about it. And that's where God, isn't it like Purim? What we should have been doing Purim all since we've been saved. Yeah. Right? We should know happy Purim. Right? But we don't. But now we do. We know some. But That's important to us. When I covered the latter part of the second and the third part about and the futuristic part of it, I don't know how in the world we'd want to even attempt to go through life without understanding the concepts that were in the book of Esther when it comes to this futuristic connection to the book of Daniel. Because Daniel, right? Daniel's, man, what'd I do with Daniel? You know, got all them things in there, but we'll see it just studying it. Number 10, God the Father speaks through us by His Spirit. God the Father speaks through us by His Spirit. Matthew 10:20, for it is not you who speaks, but it is the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. Let me see that. It's not you who speaks, but it's the Spirit of your Father that speaks in you. Isn't that powerful? The Holy Spirit who dwells with us gives us power, which the world does not comprehend. For many of us, the potential which dwells within us is never realized because we will not take God at His word. Can you imagine the potential that is in us right now if we just take God at His word? Can you imagine that? How many businesses weren't started? How many relationships never happened? You can go on, a list could go on. How many of this and that? Because it's difficult for us to take God at His word. Once we learn that, we're going to see things completely different. Completely different. And that's important. Very important. And so, I doing this study, it takes time. It takes time when you're doing any. And of course, with us doing a Purim, we're going to get back on the things that Jesus said. And the more I look into the things He said, it's just so much. Because if I could just stop in each one and do a whole Sunday service, just kind of every time Jesus says something. I mean, it's that powerful. But I'm going to have to, condense what I'm saying just to try to finish this year. Especially with all our feast days coming up. I mean, we got those services will be special services, and they have their own teaching within them, their selves. So I've been looking at it, and it's so much to what He said and how He explains Himself. And overall, as much as there is, as I see it as a lot because I got to try to teach it. But overall, it's not a lot. Did you know that Jesus didn't say a whole lot? Oh, when you're talking about all the stuff that, like Paul said, he didn't really, if you look at it on that scale, he didn't say a lot. But the things he said, oh my, it was absolutely incredible. Even non-believers had to give credit in his historical writings of how incredible this man called Jesus is. I mean, just the stuff the way he was able to put the words out. Now, did he do it? And did he say that, oh, yeah, I'm son of God, and it's kind of what, I just open my mouth, here it comes. He said, what I say is not my words, but His. It's powerful. Now, how was that activating in his life? He says, these words I'm speaking are not my words. How was that activating in his life? How did it happen? How did the Father communicate with His Son? By Holy Spirit. Do you understand that? That's why you can't make Holy Spirit some third person of some dispensation that we're in now. It's absolutely ridiculous. Jesus had the Holy Spirit in His life activating that communication with the Father. And that's exactly how. There was no time that the Father Himself came down and communicated with Jesus in all of His glory. It never happened. When he was being baptized, the heavens opened. The voice came from where? In heaven. When the shepherds were in the field, keeping watch over their sheep at night, and their sound came, and they made a proclamation, glory to God in the highest. You understand? So the Father's always stayed there, and he still remains there now. He'll never come back until the New Jerusalem and all that is set up. New earth, new heaven, New Jerusalem all set up. Then the Son is going to hand over everything to the one who gave him authority. And it's some powerful. So how did they communicate then? Holy Spirit. So Jesus had the Holy Spirit. We have to have the Holy Spirit. So this is a bad teaching. I mean, you got whole organizations. Them 36,000 bricks that got laid of every denomination, they teach the Holy Spirit's not for today. They're all based upon the tongue-talking, shundai, shouting, head jerk, all that, because we don't do that. That's charismatic movement. We're not going to be a part of that. And then you had the charismatic movement that split off in several different ways. All those groups split up. Everybody traces all. We can trace it all back to Luther. One of the heads of the Protestant movement. Everything comes from Protestant. We had Catholic and Protestant, the Reformation, break away from the Catholic Church. So that was a church split that started every other so-called whatever you know as. It all started from a church split. Because the Catholics basically were the so-called church or the Christians. And they were Christians. But before the Catholic Church, before that, I want you to know, there was a group of guys who followed the man called Jesus. And they were Jewish. And they kept the statutes and the commands, not of the Jews, but of God. Because we can't say of the Jews, because the Jews were doing separate things also. You had Pharisees, Sadducees. You had different groups in them. But they were keeping, I'm talking about Jesus and his disciples, they were keeping the commands and the ordinances of God. And that's the thing that I think we've got to return back to. What they did, we have to be doing. But we've done everything. Now, we got caught up in this whole swing of things, but I believe the waters have been stirred, things have been shaken, and we hadn't seen the real shaking yet, but it's going to be a shaking. And we got to let all the stuff fall where it may. But at the end of the day, we better be led by the Spirit, because if you're not, you're not going to make it. I won't make it. We can sit here all day long and say, I'm saved. I know I'm saved. I know I'm going to make it. Peter didn't have the Spirit, and he said, I'll die for him. Yet he denied him 3 times. He denied he ever knew him. And he cursed. He said, I don't know that. Basically said, I don't know that you know what man. Not me. You got the wrong guy. Don't put me in that group. Dude, you was right there, seeing him do all that miracles. When your mother-in-law was going to die, he walked in there and touched her, and she got out the bed. What are you talking about? You don't know the man. He broke the bread. You fed 5,000 people with a boy's meal. Are you serious? He was there. He witnessed all that stuff. I mean, they're bringing the boy out to his, put him in the grave. You was there. That man stopped the funeral procession and told him, get up. You was there. Not me. You got the wrong guy. Get out and get away. Don't put me in that group. You see? No Spirit. But when the Holy Spirit comes, big change happens, right? Help me, sir. Silver and gold we don't have. But what I have, I'm going to give to you. In the name of Jesus, get up and walk. Different kind of Peter, right? Following the Spirit. That's the difference. That's all he's asking for us. So we need. You can't make it without the Holy Spirit. And you got to foster that. You got to get in the Word of God, read every scripture you can. And you got to just put some time in with the Spirit of the Lord. And it's got to be an ongoing, active relationship that happens all the time, not just at church time. Too many people put on their church approach. Yeah. Whatever. That's not a believer who's following the things of God. It's all times, everywhere, you got to be led by the Spirit of God. I don't care what you're doing. If you do it now and be led by the Spirit, you're going to wind up in the right place at the right time for the right reason. If you don't, I can assure you, you'll wind up in some bad spots, bad situations that's hard to get out of. And I know about those. God's had to help me out of them. And I'm telling you, you can relate to that probably because you've been in some where God had to help you get out of them. And you go, man, who? I don't want to go back there. And it was all preventable. It was all to prevent. Let me tell you what happens. We don't listen to the Spirit. We don't listen to the Spirit. We don't listen to the Spirit. And the whole time we're not doing that, the devil's saying, okay, I see this habit they got. All right, I'm going to make my move. In a little while, I'm about to make my move. And God's like, you better leave them alone. Don't make me bat you upside the head. And then he says, okay, go ahead. And God steps back. And then we got some problems, right? Because can Satan just come whenever he wants? He has no right. He has no authority. He can't do that. Job, have you considered my servant Job? Big boy? There's none like him. Well, I've considered him, but you won't let me touch him. You know you won't let me touch him. Okay, go ahead. You can't kill him, but go ahead and fool with him, see where he's at. So don't give Satan more credit than he could get. He can't come against you and attack you at will. Those attacks are twofold. God's just showing you out because he can. That's my boy. Go on. Take his stuff. Take all his stuff. Take everybody. He's going to love me because he's real. Or he could be saying, you know what? I'd rather give him a spanking now than kill him later. Because if I spank him, just maybe, somehow, they'll turn to me. So you go ahead and give him that lesson. Because there ain't no lesson he can just self-do. He cowers when he walks in before the Father because he was created by God, and he knows that if he made me, he can take me whenever he wants. He knows it. So there's twofold that happens, and I've experienced both of those times, and I don't like the latter because I know it was my fault the whole time. But the other one, you feel like it's your fault, but deep down inside, you know you've been doing everything God asked you to do, and that's okay, God. Everything you told me to do, you said, and I did it. And you just got to just wait patiently and hang in there because he's going to bring it back and he's going to come in a big way. And that's the thing about God. So being led by the Spirit is critical because you wouldn't be in the right place. You'll get out of position and you don't want to do that. Stay in, hold your ground. The Spirit will say, no, no. You know how many times the Spirit said, shh. Don't say that because you want to. And you know you got the potential in you to be as ugly as everybody else is ugly, right? We know that because man knows. Man knows man. We know that. But the Spirit will go, don't do it. It's okay. And the more you yield to that, the better it gets, the more often you'll see and you'll feel it constantly. And that's all God's asking from us. You just know it. You get through all those moments that you never thought you could just simply because you're being led by the Spirit. So take some time. Look at these scripture. go back over them. I don't know when I'm going to continue touching on the Holy Spirit. I know there's some more questions that people have about speaking in tongues and all that stuff, and I will work on putting some more of that stuff together for you to speak on, and I may even do it Thursday. I don't know. But I do want you to take some time to look at that. There's no doubt about it that we have to pray in the Spirit. He says to pray in the Spirit. So, you know, praying in the Spirit is something that is critical for all of us. And that's that time that you just spend with God and you sit down and you say, you know what, be honest with him. So I don't know exactly what all that means, but I do want to do it. And I want to yield to you. And what people think, well, finally something came. Well, nothing came. You might have raised an awareness of something that's already there, but don't believe this thing that it's come some kind of way. It's come. And so it's a. Can you imagine something being there and all of a sudden it just kind of overflows? It just kind of, that's what I would describe the being, just the feeling, just you just overwhelmed. So there'll be moments like that, and you want those. They're so important, very important. And so that happens when you're reading and you come across a verse. All the verses in the Bible is incredible. There's no doubt about it. But I could be reading and just meditating, and all of a sudden I'll come across something, and wow. You have yourself a weeping moment. You can't control it. It's out of your control. You didn't get up that morning and say, boy, when I get to that next verse, I'm just going to weep. You just don't do that. It's out of your control, and you go, wow. You make a note of that, right? That when that happens, you make a note of that. Because if you think it was just for that moment, that's not the case. That could be a huge benefit for what's coming. Somebody else. Somebody, you might get that one phone call and they go, and you hear that sigh on the other end, you go, uh-oh. And you got that sink and you go, and then the news comes and it's not good. And there that one verse that you had that moment with the other day, that's the first thing comes to your mind. You think you did that? That was the Spirit of God. And if you more you do that, the more God trusts you, that's your growth in the ministry that you have as individuals. Light is going to be light, and salt's going to be salt. And you're going to impact people's life. That's important. Very important. And so keep that in mind. Also remember Sunday service. I will cover the last part of the Purim. I'll go over it. I just went over my slides again this evening, and there's too many for me not to do. There's some important information in there that we need to to look at. All right. God bless you.